He's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
Here's Raul. Ho-ho. Zidane. Oh,
fantastic. Bein Sports Connect, Australia's number one football streaming destination. The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Good afternoon. We are back with another edition of the Euro Show here on FNR, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. As always, you're with Adriano Del Monte, and we are talking European football, a couple of La Liga fixtures overnight to bring to your attention a very stunning result. Well, stunning if you haven't been following Real Madrid closely this season, but for us here at the Euro Show, far from stunning, because Espanyol, incredible, another win against a big side at home this season. They did Barcelona not so long ago in the Copa del Rey. They have now taken care of Real Madrid. All the fallout from that one to come shortly. Plenty of news across the top four competitions in European football: Serie A, La Liga, Ligue 1 and Bundesliga. Gianluigi Buffon officially returning to the Italian national team set up. Our thoughts on that decision later. And transfer news, UEFA news, as always, more on that decision to not go with VAR next season, as well as the official changes to the Champions League and Europa League confirmed by UEFA. Very, very big news indeed. As always, the lines are open, 99 44 99 99, if you'd like to get on the line at any stage, at FNR underscore radio, if you'd prefer to engage with us online. Let's get into La Liga. Big match this morning. Well, two big fixtures this morning, but one bigger than them all: Espanyol and Real Madrid. Real Madrid away from home. Zinedine Zidane leaving out, somewhat controversially resting, Cristiano Ronaldo for this one. A side without Toni Kroos, Marcelo, Casemiro also injured. And, well, Ronaldo out. No goals for Real Madrid. Espanyol win it 1-0.
Granero, lovely skill, lovely ball too. Sergio Garcia, can he make the cross pay? Return ball to Moreno. It's Espanyol. It's 1-0 to the Pudgies. They've done it in the final seconds of the game. And what a finish to this performance, which from Espanyol.
Magnificent finish indeed. 1-0 right at the death. 93rd minute winner. Here to help me dissect this match and a lot more, Matt Bruek and Rick D'Andrea. Guys, our thoughts on Real Madrid's now fifth defeat of the season.
Yeah, very disappointing loss. Good afternoon to you guys. I predicted Real Madrid to win quite convincingly. I didn't see the lineup yet, obviously. I'm not sure if it's a good look from Zinedine Zidane to rest Cristiano Ronaldo in this game. I understand all their concentration is now on the Champions League and they're in a good position after beating Paris 3-1. I still believe they should do everything to get as much as possible out of this La Liga season. And with losses to Espanyol and being in the third spot right now, they're actually not doing it. So they did Atletico a favor as well. It's standing at 7 points right now. Atletico Madrid still have a game in hand. So it will be really hard for Real Madrid in this La Liga season even to get the second spot. And that is very, very disappointing. So the only thing that can save Real Madrid's season right now would actually be defending the title in the Champions League.
Well, obviously a tough task ahead despite their lead over Paris Saint-Germain in that competition. But Rick, five defeats, as I said now, for Zidane's men this season. Just the three last season. But for Espanyol, they've had a 1-0 win over Atletico Madrid at home in late December, 1-0, 88th minute. A 1-0 win over Barcelona at home in the first leg of the Copa del Rey clash, 88th minute. And now a 1-0 win over Real Madrid. That's some sort of season.
Absolutely. I have to agree with you there 100%. I mean, many teams would probably aspire to beat one of the three during a season, home or away. Espanyol have actually done and beaten all three of them across both competitions that they participate in. So they are doing very well, the Catalan side. But to Matt's point, the team wasn't the strongest that he put out there. As we've said, no Ronaldo. Benzema came on with about 20 minutes to go. He was off the bench. Gareth Bale was the lone striker up front. Marcos Llorente came in for Casemiro. Dani Carvajal was left on the bench, the right back. So it was a very much a weakened team compared to what we've seen even in the Champions League. So it was a very strange team. It was one that probably was similar to the Copa del Rey one that they put out and got eliminated by Leganes, you know, about 4 or 5 weeks ago. So very much Zidane is trying to manage and manage and, you know, sort of work out where his injuries lie, who to rest, who to play, and how to go forward, as you both say.
I'll take your point there, but with a clash at home against Getafe at the weekend, why didn't he just rest them then? There's only 3 days between that and the second leg against Paris Saint-Germain. Why not rest Ronaldo on the weekend?
Yeah, exactly my point. I was just going to bring it up. So the Champions League game against Paris is in 7 days, so they still got a whole week to recover from that. So it would have been very smart to win this game at Espanyol, which I'm sure they would have, with the Cristiano Ronaldo and with the Benzema, and then rest them on the weekend. Exactly right. So because then it's only a 3 or 4 day span, and that might actually play a role in the fitness of players like Ronaldo if they play 2 or 3 days before a fixture. But 7 days, to rest them for 7 days before a match, that is a bit weird for me, especially if he actually plays them on this weekend. If he really does that, then I don't understand it at all. But we debated yesterday, how important is it for Real Madrid right now to actually clinch that second spot? And the answer was given this morning, obviously not that important. They just want to finish top four. And as I mentioned, they just want to win the Champions League. And that's where they put all the eggs in that basket right now.
Well, obviously the winning streak of Real Madrid comes to an end. It was 5 straight, a season high for them in all competitions. 1-0 defeat to Espanyol, who are now unbeaten in their 3 La Liga home games against those trio of giants, as I mentioned, in the same season for the first time since the 97-98 campaign. So that is not bad. 20 seasons since they've done that. And they beat Real Madrid for the first time in 23 matches in all competitions. Their first win against the Spanish giants since 2007. Moreno's goal, Espanyol's first against Real Madrid for a whopping 9 hours and 20 minutes, not since May 2015. So a famous night for Espanyol, not so much for Real Madrid. Gareth Bale, very, very poor again. On a night that he would have hoped for a little more, it was his 116th appearance in La Liga. He incredibly tied David Beckham as the British player with the most appearances ever in Spain's top flight. So if he is in action for Real against Getafe at the weekend, he will surpass that mark. A wonderful effort for he, but obviously not the result and performance that he would have hoped for. While Isco incredibly joined Zinedine Zidane with 227 games for the club as well. So a few stats, a few side notes in this match, but at the end of the day, the result, Espanyol 1, Real Madrid 0, disappointing there. The other match this morning, Girona and Celta Vigo. I told you I like the way Girona play. Another 1-0 win, another clean sheet at home against two of the impressive mid-table sides. And Girona now up to 7th, 2 points behind Sevilla, who of course have a game in hand. And as I've said time and time again, Girona, Betis, Celta Vigo, Eibar all firming for Europa League football next season. So a great win at home for the very, very impressive Girona. 5 fixtures in La Liga tomorrow. We'll get to those shortly. But wrapping up a couple of the other results from overnight. Swansea, a 2-0 win over Sheffield Wednesday in the FA Cup. That was, of course, a replay. The previous meeting finishing 0-0. 2 second half goals there, the difference. Ayew and Dyer getting on the score sheet. 2-0 it finishes. Swansea go through. Tottenham and Rochdale tomorrow morning, a replay of their previous meeting. And in the Coupe de France, Rick, incredibly, we touched on this one yesterday, there are 8 teams remaining, 5 Ligue 1 sides in the Coupe de France, but 2 of them that aren't from Ligue 1, 2nd Division Lens, 3rd Division Le Herbier, met in the quarterfinal stage of the competition. And incredibly, the 3rd Division side go through.
It wasn't the most spectacular games in terms of goals or even attacking displays, but they do go through. Le Herbier 4-2 on penalties. It was good to see Alex Gersbach, the left back for the Socceroos. He played a full 120 minutes. He also scored a decisive penalty just before his teammates, unfortunately, let him down and let the 3rd Division team go through. It's good to see. We don't see these fairy tale runs too often happen in world football. So let's back the 3rd Division team here to possibly do something.
Do you see much of this in Germany, Matt? Because I know in Italy you very rarely see 3rd or 4th division sides go through to the semi-final stage of cup competition.
Yeah, maybe quarter-final. That's probably the top. Like Paderborn was playing Bayern Munich and then also got demolished 6-0. So usually the semi-final and final are pretty much set. I think Bayern and Dortmund met like 5 times in the last 10 years in that final. And it's still in this Coupe de France. It's very interesting. Paris obviously still the big favourites here. And I just have to say one more word on Real Madrid. So they are actually in a box seat to progress in the Champions League, but imagine they don't. If they do not, they're out of the cup, they're out of the title race in the Primera División, and they're out of the Champions League, whereas PSG, they're at least still in the Coupe de France, and they have the title pretty much secure. So it could be a disaster. It could be 10 or 15 weeks for Real Madrid playing for absolutely nothing, not for a title in the league. They're not in any important competition anymore, and that would be a disastrous season for Madrid.
Well, it's been a very long time since that's been the case. Obviously, next week we're into the first week of March, but that will mean the final 3 months of the season with effectively nothing to play for. So a remarkable side note. Obviously, they'll be hopeful of progressing, continuing their run there. Just before we move away from the Coupe de France, so this third division side, it's an amazing story, L'Herbier, because they are currently 15th in the third division, which is a relegation spot. And they had a disastrous start to the season, which is a reason that they are that low, because their recent form has been great. But for a team 15th in the third division to go through to the semi-final stage of the cup competition, well, that's the beauty of the cup competition, because you don't get to see that too often. Now, plenty of matches tomorrow morning. There are a couple of Coppa Italia fixtures, a Greek Cup fixture, and another two Coupe de France fixtures. But we'll start with the La Liga. Just quickly touch on these, because La Liga, obviously, well, Barca well clear, Atleti well clear in second, Real Madrid essentially throwing in the towel today. So Valencia, they're in action away to Athletic Bilbao. The opportunity, again, to put the pressure on Real Madrid, not that they'll really care, but Valencia with an opportunity to jump back to third, a tricky trip to Bilbao.
Yeah, Bilbao have always been one of those tricky teams to beat. They've always been about bringing the youth through. Unfortunately, this season it hasn't quite worked out for them, but Valencia and Bilbao over the last, say, the last five, six, seven seasons have always been competing for a spot, whether it be in six, seven spots of that final Europa League spot, or just above, or even in the Copa del Rey. They've always sort of competed and been up against one another, so it could be a very tough battle. A draw would probably be a result that both would probably like, even though Valencia would probably want to jump back up above Real Madrid.
Valencia have not won at Bilbao since 2012, and their recent form away from the Mestalla, not so great. Getafe Deportivo, Malaga against Sevilla. Big chance for Sevilla to continue in their winning ways. They've had some very exciting games recently. Eibar host Villarreal, and Atletico Madrid Leganes in, again, a match which for Atleti, well, strange times. We mentioned yesterday they've lost another two key players to China. So they're down to 17 outfield players. They do have a couple of other players linked with moves elsewhere. They are second. They are out of the Champions League. They're in the Europa League. It's a strange season for these Spanish clubs, particularly if Real Madrid joined the party. But Atletico Madrid's recent form, stunning, absolutely stunning. Seven straight wins, including two against Copenhagen, home and away in the Europa League round of 32. They don't concede many goals. They put five past Sevilla last week, and they're playing good football, but really not too much to play for.
Yeah, exactly. It's in a couple of leagues. It reminds me a little bit of Arsenal. I mean, they're still competing for Champions League spot, but also in the Europa League, not taking it too seriously, as we saw last game. For Atletico Madrid, it's kind of a difficult situation too, because you're kind of safe in the top four. You kind of want to stay above Real Madrid just to rub it in. Real Madrid, obviously, they don't really care if they do or not. They're just concentrating on the Champions League. Is it their ambition now to win the Europa League? Yeah, it's a good title, but we have seen like big clubs like Atletico Madrid, or we saw it with Napoli just recently. They don't really take that competition that seriously. Maybe they will, because, they can't really compete for the title anymore and can't drop out of the top four. But it's strange to keep the players in a good mood, keep them fresh, and obviously keep the tension within a team when there's not as much to play for as you are used to as a team and as players. Really tough situation, but I think Atletico Madrid, if they finish second and progress quite far in the Europa League, they've done reasonably well.
Absolutely, but obviously not that incentive in the Europa League to get to the Champions League, because they'll obviously be there already next season, given the fact they will finish in Spain's top four. Three fixtures taking place the following morning. Betis Sociedad, Las Palmas, Barcelona, Alaves, Levante. We'll preview them in tomorrow's program.
Yeah, just a quick one on Levante game. That is the last chance for Levante to actually put Alaves in those spots as well, because as it stands right now, it's between Levante, Las Palmas, La Coruña and Malaga. And then there is a gap between 17th and 16th of 8 points, which is Alaves and Levante. So Levante have to win this game to actually narrow that gap down to 4 points. Otherwise, wise, if Alaves win, the bottom four are actually set, and then it will just be about which of those four survive.
There you go. Very interesting. Greek Cup, PAOK in action. They weren't in action at the weekend in the Super League because of the toilet roll that hit the assistant coach or the coach of the opposing side. But they are back in action in the Greek Cup semi-final first leg away to Panionios. They will favour their chances there. They're on a wonderful winning streak across all competitions. 10 straight in the league. You have to go back to as far as late November, the last time they dropped points in the league. So stunning form for them. They'll be confident there. PSG and Marseille in the Coupe de France as well. The two sides, of course, met last weekend in Ligue 1. The match remembered not because of the 3-0 win to PSG, but more so because of the injury sustained to Neymar. More on that later in the program. Two Coppa Italia fixtures tomorrow. Juve-Atalanta and Lazio taking on AC Milan. Previews of those to come on the other side of this break. Stick around, plenty more still to come. As I said, news around Italy, Spain, France and Germany and a whole lot more right here on the Euro Show on FNR Football Nation Radio.
He's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
Yes, Raul!
Bein Sports Connect, Australia's number one football streaming destination. The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Euro Show here on FNR Football Nation Radio. Adriano Del Monte, Matt Bruek and Rick D'Andrea with you. The lines are open, 9994 9999. If you'd like to get involved in the conversation at any stage, we're at FNR underscore radio on Twitter. Share your thoughts there. We'll get to as many as we can throughout the program. We talked plenty of La Liga action before the break, a midweek round. Lots of exciting fixtures as always. But Rick, some news about the upcoming Clásico match.
Yeah, so the Spanish Federation have actually decided when the final Clásico for the season will be played, and officially it will be played on May 6th. So 1 or 2 weeks before the season ends, which will be very interesting just to probably, you know, see how both teams go, give some players one final hit out before the season completely ends, and then they probably all go to the World Cup.
Very interesting. Very sad that it will very likely not count for too much, but that's the time. And who knows, Barcelona, just given the standings at the moment, if Atleti can sort of maintain the deficit between them and Barcelona, that match could very well be to mathematically win the title as well.
It could very well be. We'll have to wait and see. And, you know, there's only 3 months to go until then.
The Coppa Italia resumes tomorrow morning. Semi-finals, Juventus, Atalanta, Lazio, AC Milan. Let's start with Juve, Atalanta. Of course, the two sides were meant to meet at the weekend in the Serie A. They were meant to meet twice in the space of 4 days. That match was postponed due to heavy snow. They get an opportunity to meet here in the Coppa Italia semi-final with Massimiliano Allegri, Rick, expected to field the exact same lineup that he was set to field against Atalanta at the weekend.
That could be very good for him because the team will already be a lot more settled considering all the injuries that there are at the Bianconeri. Gonzalo Higuain has been ruled out of the clash. He didn't even make the preliminary 19-man squad for the match, so that'll be good that he out the way. Atalanta can now go, okay, we can focus on a team trying to get a result without the Argentine there. Atalanta themselves, they will have gotten an extra 48, 72 hours rest compared to Juventus. Atalanta obviously involved in the Thursday night fixture, Friday morning Australian time Europa League match against Borussia Dortmund, so they'll obviously be a lot more refreshed. But I think this one's just going to come down to Papu Gomez versus that Juventus defence.
Very exciting match, no doubt, between a number of stars across the game. Allegri spoke yesterday in the lead-up, essentially touching on the injury crisis that has struck his club. He said, as you've confirmed, Rick, Higuain won't be available. Khedira will. Cuadrado, Di Ciglio, Bernardeschi, of course, potential long-term injuries. Bernardeschi potentially set to miss the rest of the season. Still no word on that. Marchisio likely to start for the first time in a very long time. So some players who we haven't seen for a while back. Dybala, one match closer to full fitness. But of course, the tie delicately poised. 1-0, Higuain scoring after 3 minutes in the first leg in Bergamo. Pablo Gomez missing a penalty in that fixture. So it's set up nicely, but very, very hard for me to see Juventus losing and bowing out.
It is, you are right, but I think it's just going to come down to, like I said, if Pablo Gomez can actually score a goal, It brings Atalanta back into it. Josip Ilicic has a knack of even scoring against Juventus. He's done it for many times at Palermo and at Fiorentina before he was at Atalanta. Brian Cristante, he can set up play left, right and centre as the main playmaker. They're not out of it. They will have the hard road to go. They will have to go up the hill, and it will be tough, but they can do it.
Keep in mind, Juve have the away goal as well. So Atalanta absolutely must score and then see what happens from there. But obviously, in order to progress, Atalanta must win the fixture at the very least. And any win will do. 1-0, it'll take it to extra time. Any other win will do. So big task ahead for Atalanta, but they have been very impressive against the very best in Italian football this season, even some of Europe's best as well, as we've seen in the Europa League. Allegri did go on to say, now this is a very interesting talking point. He went on to say that we need to stay ambitious about staying in all of the competitions. Of course, the club still competing for the Serie A, Champions League and Coppa Italia. This is Juventus, he added. We're not worried about what the other teams are doing. We'll keep a low profile and then look to take our chances further down the line. So it begs the question, where to focus your attention on here for Juventus? Obviously a very deep squad, but a squad troubled by an injury crisis at the present time. 4 points behind Napoli in the Serie A, second leg of a semi-final against Atalanta in the Coppa Italia, and backs against the wall, round of 16, Champions League against Tottenham. It's a difficult question for us to really answer here, but Napoli, all eggs in the Serie A basket, without question. For Juve, the goal is definitely the UEFA Champions League, but maybe they're not in the best position to do that. 18 fixtures for Juventus, sorry, 6 fixtures for Juventus, the next 18 days, 18 remaining for the season at the present time. However, 6 in 18 days to come, Napoli with just 3 in that exact same time span. If you're Allegri, what do you do here?
Well, I would certainly not concentrate on the Coppa Italia, because out of those 3 competitions, that's probably the least important one. And I'm pretty sure Juventus fans would be most forgiving if they actually go out of the Coppa Italia. For me, the most important thing is always the league. The Champions League is something you can dream of, but the league, if it's Bundesliga, Serie A, Premier Division or Premier League or whichever league, that's what you're on the training place for, or training court for every single day. And that's your daily basis, what you're actually doing for work. So you play every weekend in the league. And that is also, for me, the most honest competition, because it shows you if you're the best over the result of like 34 games in Germany or even more in Italy, then you really deserve to get a title. In the Champions League, it's hard enough because you're facing the best clubs in Europe, but it's less games, and sometimes in a penalty shootout or an extra time, anything can happen. But if you win the league, you've been the best team and the most consistent team for the entirety of a season, and that for me is the most important competition.
I think Allegri will probably have D-Day come upon him around the 15th of March. By that I mean he will obviously have to have played the Coppa Italia semi-final, like 2 games in the Serie A, as well as the Champions League return leg. By that stage, he will know whether his team is in the Coppa Italia final, whether they're in the quarterfinal of the Champions League or not, and how close they are still to Napoli. I think 14th, 15th of March, that's when we will know exactly where Juventus stand and what exactly they actually want to get out of this season.
Well, 6 games till the 18th of March, so certainly a good timeline there. And it really is a season-defining period. Very fortunate to have Dybala back. Big blow with Bernardeschi and Cuadrado still missing, but these key players coming back, Marchisio back in action, hopefully back into some form. It's going to be a very difficult, but our questions will be answered now, because it's all or nothing for Juventus. And I don't think they will take the Coppa Italia second leg too seriously, so I'm with you there, Matt, but I think they'll do enough to get the result required, even if it is just a draw. Lazio Milan, the other Coppa Italia fixture. Two sides who, well, they're in contrasting form at the moment. Milan on a sensational run of form under Gattuso, unbeaten in 12, looking exceptional at all ends of the park, against a Lazio side who have been at times one of the better sides in Italy all season, but just a recent slump suggesting otherwise. Both sides will be confident of going through. Both sides will be determined to win some silverware this season. Lazio with 3 straight wins in all competitions for the first time in some time, against a Milan side who are in wonderful form. As I said, 0-0 the result in the first leg, so no away goals yet. If Milan score, it will be very hard for Lazio to get one over them, particularly with all the confidence and form coming in.
Yeah, you're right, but I can see Lazio actually turning up for this one. They haven't done a lot over the last month, month and a half, to really say to me, we are here, we are going to try and fight for this third place in the Champions League, and then we want this spot. They haven't done that. They've sort of had easy losses, or matches you would think they would win, and they've dropped those points, and then the games that they actually shouldn't be winning, they have gone on to win. So Lazio are one of those teams, they know what to do. I think they'll actually just progress. Not by a lot. It will come down to that midfield battle, though. I mean, the likes of, you know, Milinkovic-Savic, Felipe Anderson, Nani, Kessé for Milan, Bonaventura, Sousa, all these players, you know, Bilha. Whoever wins that midfield battle, I think, will go a long way to actually going through to the final.
I'm with you there. It will be a stunning game because two sides who are playing great football at their best, but I'm going to tip Milan because they were in Rome at the weekend. They had a very nice 2-0 win against Roma. They're just returned now from a match against Lazio, who were stunning at the weekend, winning 3-0 against Sassuolo. But Sassuolo, one of the worst sides in the Italian Serie A this season. So I'm going to tip AC Milan. It'll be an entertaining match. There will be goals. And I think Gattuso will lead his side to a sixth straight clean sheet and win in all competitions. So it will be an exciting game, no doubt. Funny you touch on Milinkovic-Savic, Rick, because there was a report that was released yesterday suggesting that in 2010, the youngster at the time almost became a professional basketball player in Serbia. Remarkable story. 3 years later, he became a pro at a lower level in Serbia. Eventually sold to Lazio 2 years later for 10 million euro. And according to the latest reports coming out of Italy, if you believe it, he's worth up to 200 million. So certainly a player to keep an eye on, but a remarkable rise to stardom for him. He will need to play very well if they are to have any chance of doing anything. And I'm looking forward to it. Lazio Milan play very, very attractive football, and we'll see how that one eventuates. Let's cross over to a caller. We've got Nick on the line in Templestowe. Nick, welcome to the program.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Very well, Nick.
I just want to talk a little bit about Milan. Do you guys think that Milan have any chance to potentially take out two bits of silverware this year? Over the past 2 months, we've seen Milan really transform into a much more exciting team with a better defence, a fantastic attack on the other side of that as well, but also their form in the Serie A has been amazing. And as a Milan fan, I can't help but feel like after this week, if results, because there's three huge games, if Milan win and there's losses for Lazio and also Roma, who they play Juventus and Napoli respectively, they could get only 3 or 4 points off third. But also for them to get past Arsenal, who they knock out one of the favourites for the Europa League and make a cup final, do you think there's any chance of a top four and two silverware finish?
Love your optimism, Nick. Absolutely love it. And look, I've argued on this program that I think the most realistic outcome for the Rossoneri this season is a top four finish in the Serie A, just given the fact that Lazio, Inter and Roma have been far from impressive for large parts of 2018. So in answer to whether they can win two bits of silverware, obviously for me, the Europa League, very difficult, just given the fact that, well, Atletico Madrid, Borussia Dortmund, two very established European clubs are there. I've got no doubt that Milan can get past Arsenal, though, because if anyone is struggling in European football at the moment, it's Arsenal. And this matchup comes at the perfect time. As you correctly said, Nick, a very big few games to come. Lazio in the Coppa Italia, Inter at the weekend, Arsenal next week. So it's an exciting time for Gattuso, but I think we'll be better equipped to answer that question in a week from now. But I think one title is realistic. I think the Coppa Italia is very realistic, particularly given Juventus's busy schedule and aim for winning another Serie A Scudetto. But I think the Coppa Italia and a top four finish and maybe a deep run in the Europa League, more realistic for me.
Coppa Italia, I'm going to say if Atalanta happened to knock off Juve, I think you can do it. I think Milan have a very strong chance of winning, but only if that happens. In the Europa League, I think you've got to get through too many hurdles in order to get there at this stage. Atletico Madrid, for me, just looked way too good. Their depth's going to be tested, but maybe a final appearance is as far as I'm going to go. Maybe not the silverware, but definitely a finals appearance.
Yeah, Coppa Italia is their biggest chance, I'd say, too. So top four finish would be great in the Italian league. And when it comes to Europa League, surely at this stage they're going to knock off Arsenal. On paper, I believe Arsenal's squad is way better, but the current form suggests that AC Milan will get over the line. I even think at the moment they would have the better of Borussia Dortmund. I'm not impressed with Dortmund. Yeah, and you mentioned Atletico Madrid are the ones that will be hard to knock off. But on a good day, AC Milan at home against Atletico, if they get a good result, why not? So Coppa Italia, yeah, very likely if Juventus surprisingly goes out. Europa League is a chance too. And if you actually get into a final or both of those into the final and then finish top four, would be a decent season, I guess.
Hope that answers your question, Nick. Hope you're happy with those responses.
Yeah, I'm quite optimistic. I hope that we can get a few more wins on the board. Obviously, it's a very exciting time to be a Milan fan after such a poor start to the season. I'm just really excited for these next 2 weeks. But I honestly believe that, you know, if a few results go our way, anything can happen. But the worrying thing for me, obviously, is still Milan's squad depth. I think a couple injuries could really derail us, especially with some of our key attacking players, guys like Suso, Bonaventura, even Calhanoglu. If they go out, there's going to be serious problems with our attack.
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, bright future ahead, but have to remain, yes, optimistic, but also realistic in the fact that, yeah, one or two injuries can spark some change. But certainly Gattuso has them going on the right path, no doubt. And we wish Milan all the best for the remainder of the season. Thanks for your call, Nick. If you'd like to get involved in the conversation at any time, 99 44 99 99, the number to call. We're also at FNR_radio. Let's switch our focus to the Italian national team quickly, guys, because after Gigi Di Biagio, the interim manager, the current under-21 manager and interim national team manager, yesterday came out and said that he would entertain the idea of recalling Buffon as he feels it would be much better for the legendary goalkeeper to end on a better note than the Sweden debacle. Buffon has confirmed that if he wants, he will return. So he's come out and said to stop playing is like dying, which is very, very harsh. They're very strong with their words in Italy. But he also did go on to say that while he was planning to have a holiday with his family in that period, he would certainly not turn down the call to return. So it appears it will be just for the upcoming friendlies against Argentina and England. Whether that's right, whether that's wrong, I think we all agree on the fact that Buffon does deserve to go out on a better note than what we saw against Sweden. If it's now or if it's in an unofficial friendly, the opportunity to see him in the Azzurri colours again is surely something no one will have an issue with.
No, I don't think anyone will have an issue with, but what happens if Argentina win 4-0 and England win 3-0? I know it's unlikely, but what happens then? Do we then say, OK, come back for the UEFA Nations League or come back for a friendly after the World Cup or another pre-World Cup friendly?
Qatar 2022.
I mean, the saga will continue. So I'm of the opinion, finish it off, don't play him again, move on to the new generation. Unfortunately, he may play, which would be good to see, but it could end up very badly.
It could. It probably won't. Let's hope it doesn't.
But
look, the thought is there. Anyway, we'll see what happens, but two more fixtures at least for Gianluigi Buffon. Whether or not he even plays both or whatever the story is, we'll see, but very likely he will be called. And he also had his say, Buffon, on Balotelli, saying he'd love to see him back in the squad as well, which is great news and great support for Balotelli, a player who you feel is always young, but really he's not. He's been around for a decade now, so he's not so young, but always appears to be an up-and-coming player. Just before we get to a break, Milan have announced that they are currently sitting at a €27.3 million loss, which is an improvement on December 31st, where they announced a near €40 million loss. So obviously some financial issues at the club, but they've announced that they're actually in the right direction, heading in the right direction for now. And finally, Inter's Mauro Icardi. Plenty of rumours and reports around his future. Will he stay at Inter? Will he go? Am I right in saying, Rick, that his national team coach of Argentina has already put a pen through his name for the World Cup?
Well, he hasn't played, and Jorge Sampaoli has always stated that he wants to see his stars play before he picks his team. So if he's not playing and if he has an attitude problem, okay, Icardi has been injured since December, he's not going to pick him. And, well, Sampaoli has said, well, no chance, not at the moment, no.
Legitimately one of the best players in the world, and he won't be going to the World Cup at this stage due to the fact, well, he isn't playing. So I guess if you're going to focus on those rules, well, rules are rules, and Icardi won't be there, but surely he has to go. Easily one of the best players in world football. If he leaves Inter, will leave for very big money to a very big club, surely must go to the World Cup for me. Off to a break. Bundesliga, Ligue 1 and transfer news still to come here on the Euro Show on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia.
He's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
Here's Raul. Ho-ho! Zidane!
Bein Sports Connect, Australia's number one football streaming destination. The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Live across Australia and around the world, this is the Euro Show on FNR Football Nation Radio. We are talking all things European football, and I am Adriano Del Monte, joined by Rick D'Andrea and Matt Bruek. A lot of focus today on the top four leagues in Europe, La Liga, Serie A, Ligue 1 and Bundesliga. A reminder to you all out there, they are all live on Bein Sports Connect or available later via catch-up. Make sure you check them out. All wonderful competitions. And we are headed to the Bundesliga now. Bundesliga fans, get on the line as we had Nick do earlier in the program. 9944999 or at FNR underscore radio. Matt, Robert Lewandowski in the headlines. Is he going? Is he staying? He's one of those strikers who may move in the summer, according to the latest reports. Of course, the Bayern Munich superstar, former Dortmund superstar. What is the latest?
So Lewandowski apparently has rejected a new deal at Bayern Munich right now, and he has opened talks with Real Madrid. That's all according to Sky Germany and several other sources now in Germany as well, and they're usually very well informed. And he's in discussions now with Los Blancos, and that will come to blow for Chelsea as well. They were interested in Lewandowski too, and a massive blow for Bayern Munich. So if he comes out, and Sky Germany are usually well informed, and if he says, I'm not going to sign a new contract and I really want to go to Real Madrid at the end of the season, that's apparently in the news that they have, then I think the transfer is going to happen, because we all know how hard it is to keep a player against his will. And that would be a massive blow for Bayern Munich. And so it was back then for Borussia Dortmund. So maybe Bayern Munich will actually get a feeling for it, how it is to steal top players from other clubs. And this time, maybe one of the best strikers in the world will get stolen from them.
That is huge news if Lewandowski were to go to Real Madrid. We've said it before and we've discussed it on this program. Ronaldo, Bale, Benzema, they surely can't all stay if someone of Lewandowski's caliber arrives.
No, Benzema, I think, would be the one. His future would be very much in doubt. I mean, Lewandowski is a class above Benzema, in my opinion, at least at this stage. And I think if they would finalise that deal with Lewandowski, Benzema would be out of Real Madrid, I believe.
Well, Ronaldo, Bale, they're both in the headlines as well. And certainly will be some moves with Real Madrid this summer. We know how much they love a World Cup, Real Madrid, and how much they love a World Cup bolter. James Rodriguez, the one in 2014. Lewandowski, well, he'll probably have a good World Cup as well. So looking likely, according to reports, that Lewandowski has rejected a new deal, repeating the big news here, and may move to Real Madrid in the summer. Another of the Bundesliga stars, Matt, Marco Reus, who's scored twice in his three games back from injury, he has come out and said that he does intend to make the World Cup. It'd be great to see him play for Germany in Russia.
Yeah, especially because he missed the last one where Germany became champions due to an injury, and he has missed so much football since his move to Dortmund. When he was at Gladbach, he flew a little bit under the radar. It's obviously a smaller club, and he wasn't that much in the spotlight, although he was world-class already. But when he came to Dortmund, that's where he was from, that's where he was born, so he really wanted to go back home. And he got the captaincy as well. But unfortunately, half of the time, from a feeling perspective, he was just injured and had a bad knee injury, had some muscle injuries too, and a couple of really bad tackles, you have to say, as well. So people knew what class he brings to the pitch, and he's got the pace, he's got the technique, and sometimes a little bit like we saw with the Neymar now as well, the only option to stop him is actually to foul him, and sometimes those were dirty tackles that actually kept him on the sidelines for months and months, which I'm really not a big fan of. Sometimes when it's as deliberate as it was sometimes, I think the player who commits the foul should be banned for as long as Reus potentially coming back. I know it's never going to happen, but it's great to see him back, and I'm just really hoping he stays injury-free, and he would be a certain starter for me even in the World Cup.
Very good. Hopefully he has a strong second half of the season for Dortmund in both the Europa League and Bundesliga. Well, with Dortmund, they're linked to a keeper from Frankfurt, I believe, who is someone who you highly rate.
Yeah, Radetzky. He's one of the great keepers in the Bundesliga. I had no idea about him before he came to Eintracht Frankfurt. Played a couple of seasons there now. He's one of the best keepers in the Bundesliga by statistics. He's 28. That's still a very good age for a goalkeeper. And he is very much or very heavily linked to Borussia Dortmund. They obviously have their issues. Roman Weidenfeller, the second keeper, he's like 38, I believe, now. And Bürki, I've said it over and over again, he just doesn't have the class to play for a team like Borussia Dortmund, and he's a clear weakness. Lukas Radetzky, he's out of contract at the end of the season, so Borussia Dortmund could get him for free. And I think it's actually time for Borussia Dortmund to get a very good goalkeeper in, because it stabilizes your whole defense as well. And Radetzky is one who's proven himself in the Bundesliga for a couple of years right now. So he can play on that level. And I would really like the transfer from a Dortmund perspective.
And before we move away from the Bundesliga, Schalke, they are set to lose, according to reports coming out of Germany, their second star of the season after he has reportedly turned down a lucrative offer by the club.
Yeah, that's Max Meyer, and not only German media reporting it, English media now as well. So he has rejected the latest contract offer from Schalke as well, which was their third. So he's rejected third Schalke offers right now. And a couple of months ago, the very same thing happened to Leon Goretzka, who actually rejected four offers. And then Schalke were like, okay, you get back to us whenever you want to talk to us, because we can just put it in front of you and you say no. We've done that four times and we all know what happened. So then he went to Bayern and signed a couple of days later. And I'm pretty sure that's going to happen here as well. So you can tell the manager of Schalke and the bosses, they're already giving interviews being like, well, he has to sign now or never. We're not going to hold on forever. We have to plan the next season too. And I think Max Meyer will be gone. It's another heavy blow for Schalke. He's out of contract. He can leave for free. So for Goretzka, they got nothing. For Max Meyer, if the transfer will go through, they will get nothing. And Arsenal are in the front seat for him, according to The Mirror in the UK. And also, it's funny because Arsenal have already signed Kolasinac back then from Schalke as well for no transfer fee. So it would be the second player they will steal of Schalke for literally £0 or euros or whatever it is.
Very sad for Schalke. They've been brilliant this season on the pitch, but unfortunately, these players will be very hard to replace. Not only the fact they're losing them, but how do you replace them and maintain the good form they've shown? Very, very sad. Well, not end, but sad state of affairs at Schalke, given what has been a very promising campaign. So lots of big players in the news and in the headlines. None bigger, though, than Neymar. PSG's Neymar, this injury. Again, we discussed yesterday what is going on. There are reports suggesting one thing, reports suggesting the complete other. And, well, in the last 24 hours, it's happened again. There were reports suggesting that Neymar had confirmed an operation for the fifth metatarsal, the fracture, or whatever happened to him. Obviously, a very delicate, not minor injury, but very delicate in the fact that very hard to pinpoint exactly what took place, but it has now been explained what has happened. However, the operation was said to have been scheduled. 2 hours later, his manager, Unai Emery, came out and said, those rumours are false. He won't be having it. Not so long after, Neymar Sr., of course, unsurprisingly the father of Neymar Jr., has said that my son will be out for 6 to 8 weeks. What on earth is going on?
This is stranger than a Melrose Place episode, to be perfectly honest, Jens. Who knows, in all honesty? I mean, Neymar says one thing, you'd think he'd know. The manager, Unai Emery, says another. And then obviously his father, Neymar Sr., says a third. So I think it's just going to have to be a wait-and-see approach. Let's wait to see Neymar on the operating table if he does need to go for surgery, or let's wait and see if he does play in the coming weeks, whether it be against Marseille tomorrow morning, whether it be against in the Champions League, or whether it be in the Cup or even in the league.
Are they any chance in the Champions League if Neymar isn't there?
Yeah, I believe so, because in the first game he pretty much did nothing. So he just tried to stage some free kicks and lost the ball a lot and just played way too selfish. I think Paris certainly is one of the clubs in the world to have the quality to also beat Real Madrid without a Neymar on a good day. And that's one of the issues, you know, if you buy a Neymar, not only do you buy the player, you also buy the player's manager, the player's father, and they all have a say in the media. And that's always a big issue when you bring one of those extravagant stars into your club.
And they've also forgotten, or we have also forgotten, they have a player called Angel Di Maria, who has won a Champions League. He's played at the highest levels of all European footballing competitions. So I'm sure that they can slot the Argentine in very comfortably there on the left.
Well, very exciting second leg to come next week. Can't wait to preview all those fixtures. No Champions League this week, of course, but next week, plenty of action to bring to your attention. While with UEFA, I mentioned at the top of the program, the Champions League and Europa League official changes have now been confirmed for next season. So we've touched on it before. Essentially, without going into too much detail, the top four associations. So at the present time in Europe, that is Spain, Germany, England and Italy. They will have four direct entries into the group stage. There will be a further 10 direct entrants. So what that means is only six clubs will be required to come through the qualifying phase, which should see some higher quality matches deeper into the competition as well, particularly in the early stage as well, because the group stage in recent seasons has lost a little bit of its charm. So with some higher quality sides and clubs in there, think about the likes of a Milan or Inter who haven't been there for so long, some of the English clubs as well. Just to have that fourth direct entrant as opposed to having to come through the qualifiers just makes for a little more higher quality across the board. So certainly like that change. Some big changes to the Europa League too as well, with more Champions League participants and those in the qualification stage dropping into the Europa League. So a few key changes as we've discussed and we'll continue discussing in the lead up to next season. Just some transfer news to bring to your attention before we wrap up. Real Madrid always in the news. De Gea, a goalkeeper who's been very strongly linked with a move back to Spain, well, ever since he's really announced himself at Manchester United. He is wanted by Zidane. However, reports in Spain suggest if Zidane leaves and Guti is his replacement, they will not pursue a move for De Gea.
I think it's just strange. Let's just wait and see till the end of the season. Who stays at Real Madrid as their coach? Who Manchester United target as a possible replacement for their goalkeeper? And we'll go from there. It's a strange one at the moment. Let's just wait and see.
We touched on Lewandowski potentially leaving Bayern Munich. Already some German media outlets suggesting that Harry Kane could be the replacement. Could we see that happening?
Well, I don't really see that happening, him leaving Tottenham for Bayern Munich. I think if he ever leaves Tottenham, it will be for one of those massive money clubs, which would be maybe a Barcelona or even, of course, a Real Madrid. They're always in the conversation. I would just interested in your opinion. So Robert Lewandowski is contracted until 2021 to Bayern Munich. If he says, I want to leave at the end of the season, do we have another Aubameyang scenario or Sanchez? Would you let him go for like heaps of money or would you keep him because he's so important?
I suppose it depends who else is out there. You need to replace Lewandowski, who is easily top 10 player in the world, with another top 10 player in the world. Bayern Munich need to reinvest in that spot, particularly with Ribery and Robben with one season max left between them. So I think a replacement for Lewandowski is crucial, and certainly there will be a few players available. The likes of Icardi, Sergio Aguero may be floating around, and these other players with Bale, Benzema, I think Bayern will need to replace him because Müller also getting on in age as well, and Coman with an injury at the moment. Someone will need to come in as a replacement. But it's going to be thrilling because should Ronaldo be in the rumours, Lewandowski, these are a number of top 10 players in world football. Promises to be a very exciting summer post-World Cup in the lead-up to the 2018-19 season. A few final rumours. Inter in advanced negotiations for Bernard of Shakhtar. Very good player, him. Napoli have put a €65 million price tag on Zielinski, according to Corriere dello Sport. He's a Polish midfielder targeted by Liverpool. And Stefan El Shaarawy of Roma is apparently up for sale. So some interesting news to bring to your attention there as we wrap up another Euro show. We're back, though, 1 p.m. tomorrow. Full preview of the weekend action as well as a review of the midweek La Liga fixtures and plenty more as always. Thanks to Matt and Rick for their contributions. But for now, from me, Adriano Del Monte, this has been another edition of the Euro show on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football throughout Australia. Until next time, it's goodbye for now.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.